All right. We are looking at the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. We've gone through love, joy, peace. Come on. Now I'm going through long-suffering with this. Oh, now it's popping up. Okay. these outlines, these computers, they just don't want to do what you want to do when you do it. So, we've gone through love, we've gone through joy, we've gone through peace, we've gone through long-suffering, and today, we go through kindness. Kindness. What kind of kindness should we behave as Christians? What kind of kindness should we have? You've heard the phrase, no doubt, that you attract more flies with honey than with vinegar. And that's the idea that you have with this idea of kindness. How we can attract more people to the Lord if we're nice to them than we can if we're beating them overhead with the Bible. Now, for some, that may work. Beating them over the head with the Bible, very unlikely to work, especially if you do so literally. But I've not tried that literally, so I don't know. But I'd imagine it wouldn't work. But we need to be kind to one another and attract more flies with honey. I've always found this, despite all that, to be kind of an odd phrase, but it is appropriate for this lesson today. Again, kindness is this next characteristic that we're going to look at concerning the fruit of the Spirit. The Greek word for this particular word in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, is krestates. Krestates. Now, that might seem a little familiar because it sounds a little bit like Christos. Christ is the first little bit there, and then Christ. Which is the Greek for Christ. So it sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? And there's a reason for that, or at least it'll connect later on. But Thayer defines it as moral goodness, integrity, benignity, if I'm pronouncing that even correctly, and kindness, something being benign, and kindness. Well, I look at that particular definition and I think, well, that's nice, I guess, but what else can we get from that? When I think of something that's benign, I think of something that is the opposite. Something that's benign is the opposite is malignant, right? You might think of a tumor. And once you hear the news that it's benign, you think, oh, thank goodness. It's not necessarily good that you have that tumor, but it's better if it's benign, if it's not malignant. So that's the kind of thing I think that it's not great, but it's better than it could be. Is that the kind of kindness that we ought to be? I don't think so. I don't think so. So let's consider what this is. We're going to look at two points: God's kindness and our kindness. Before I start really getting into it, there is a similarity between kindness and goodness, because when we look at the next week in the fruit of the Spirit, the next one is goodness. There is a lot of connection. There's a lot of similarities between these two. In fact, so much so that they are often treated as synonyms, kindness and goodness, or at least the Greek words for these. But we are going to make some distinctions between them, particularly to separate it from this sermon and next week's. Often, the word is translated, the word krestates for kindness, is sometimes translated as goodness, especially when we look at the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The only place in the Septuagint that this word is found is in the Psalms, though. So we'll consider a lot of those passages, as well as the handful of times it's used in the New Testament. And it's only used exclusively by the Apostle Paul, we'll find in these passages here. So keep in mind, when we see goodness or good in these coming passages, we could understand it as being kind, this Christotes. All right? So let's consider the overall kindness, or God's kindness first. First point, God's kindness. And we'll consider his overall kindness. The first passage is Psalm 21 and verse 3. Psalm 21, verse 3. This is God's kindness to righteous kings, kings that seek after God. And he says, "For you meet him with the blessings of goodness," or kindness. "You set a crown of pure gold upon his head." Think about that for a moment. The goodness of God can also be understood as the kindness of God, the blessings of his kindness. When you think of something that's kind, is one of the first things you think of God? When I look at this passage, and I look at all the passages that we're going to look at this morning, that struck me about how kind our God is to us. Now, we might think, well, there's all this suffering in the world. There's all this terrible things going on. COVID-19 right now, this Delta variant, it's all terrible. What are we talking about here? And yet he's still kind. There's been pandemics before this one, and there's going to be pandemics after this one. Yet he's still kind. In this passage, in Psalm 21, we find that he treats these righteous kings with a long life, with honor and majesty. In fact, he makes them glad in his presence. Are we glad in the presence of our Lord? Where are we in the presence of our Lord? When we look at Leviticus chapter 9, we realize when we studied that a while back, we find that we are in the presence of God when we come here to worship. When we gather together to worship our Lord, we are in his presence. Can you feel it? Doesn't matter. We are. Because the Bible says so. Because the Bible says that where we are gathered together, he is in our midst, right? Where we're gathered together, he is in our midst. And we are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So are you glad in his presence? You ought to be. Because that's how he should make us. He's also kind to the poor. To the poor. In Psalm 68, verses 9 and 10. "You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary." In the context of this passage, this is actually talking about coming into the promised land. They've received the covenant at Sinai, and they come into the promised land finally after 40 years from receiving that covenant. They come into the promised land, and it says here that you sent a plentiful rain whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation dwelt in it. Your congregation, the congregation of the Lord's people, the Israelites at that time, dwelt in that promised land that was confirmed through the promise, or through the rain, the plentiful rain. "You, O God, provided from your goodness, your kindness to the poor." Wait, how does that work? He provides for all of their necessities. He provides the rain that we may get water from, that we may drink, that may water the crops. He provides the sunshine that makes the plants to grow. He provides all sorts of things for us that we can use to take care of ourselves. When we look through the scriptures at people who are poor, were Naomi and Ruth poor in the book of Ruth? Yes, they were poor. They had just come from Moab, and they were widows, both of them. They come out of Moab, settling in Bethlehem, and they are taken care of because the law said the rich people couldn't, they had to leave the corners of their field so that they could allow the poor to come and gather that food. God takes care of them, is kind to the poor. So even through natural means, he legislates certain things in the Old Testament law to help provide for the poor. He is good to them. And in fact, Deuteronomy chapter 15, we find certain things on the Jews at that time, the Israelites, that they had to take care of the poor in Deuteronomy chapter 15. And so that's an injunction, or it could be considered one on us as well, that we need to, in fact, we find in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10 that we need to remember the poor. God takes care of them through us or through natural means. Jesus' words are comforting there in Matthew chapter 6 as well. Our necessities are taken care of somehow, in some way. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What things? The clothes, the food that we need, as we see there earlier in chapter 6, Matthew 6. All these things are taken care of. God is kind. God is kind. We don't need to worry about what we eat or what we wear. He's also kind to those who fear God. To those who fear God. In Psalm 31 and verse 19, he says, "Oh, how great is your goodness," or kindness, Christotes. "How great is your kindness, which you have laid up for those who fear you." He is kind to us, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Do we fear him? Do we trust in him? Well, that means then that he is kind to us in many different ways. And that could be physical ways, but we'll look at, or material ways, but we'll look at spiritual ones as well. He takes care of our necessities. David wrote in Psalm 37, verse 25 and 26, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have seen the righteous forsaken. Ye have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Are we among his descendants? When we look at Galatians chapter 3, the last few verses there, verse 29 especially, yes, we are Abraham's seed. As Christians, as followers of our Lord, we are his spiritual seed. That is us. We are his descendants. Do we beg for bread? You know, it doesn't mean that we don't need help every now and then. Certainly not. Sometimes we do need help, sometimes. But it doesn't mean that we aren't taken care of in some way. Has God taken care of you? He is kind. He is kind. We find his overall kindness. We also find his material kindness. His material kindness in the food and harvest. There are several passages I have for that. The first one is Psalm 85:12. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, what is kind, and our land will yield its increase. Psalm 65, I love the wording here in Psalm 65, verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness, with your kindness. How does he crown the year? That's a unit of time. How does he crown the year with his kindness? And it says, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop, continuing on, they drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Have you ever seen the movie Sound of Music? This reminds me, the hills are alive with the sound of music. They sing because of his kindness. They sing because of his kindness. He crowns the year with his kindness because of the harvest, right? The harvest comes every year. There may be famine from time to time, but generally speaking, that harvest comes. And that's because of his kindness, so that we may eat, so that we may survive and continue on. These all wait for you, Psalm 104, verse 27 and 28. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand. They are filled with good. They are filled with kindness. And it's something that is praiseworthy, this kindness, because we see in Psalm 145, verse 7, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great kindness and shall sing of your righteousness. Do we talk about his kindness to one another? Do we talk about how good he is, how good God has been to us today? Do we talk about that? Do we sing of his righteousness? Well, we do in our songs, at the very least. Let us do that. Let us praise our God, not only for the material kindness that he's given, but to the spiritual kindness he's given to us. We find it in at least four places. We find it in his law. His law. His law is kind. In fact, we see in Psalm 119, verse 68, you are good. You are kind. And do good. And do kindness. How much plainer can you get? But then the second half of that verse says, teach me your statutes. Connecting the idea of kindness with his law. With the statutes, with the things that he has taught us in his word. It is kind. When you read through, especially the New Testament, do you read it dripping with kindness and love? I sure do. When I see our Lord dying on the cross, I see his kindness there for us. We see it in his grace and his mercy. You know, people often quote Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But what about verse 7? What about verse 7? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. His grace, that unmerited favor, is a result of his kindness toward us. And his mercy in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So these are, we might consider these parallel passages. His kindness results in grace that saves us, results in mercy, punishment for not getting what we deserve, that mercy. But he saves us according to his mercy. And you know what? We get grace and mercy from it. It also leads us to repentance. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, of his kindness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness or the kindness of God leads you to repentance? His kindness leads us to repentance. If we accept his kindness and recognize that his statutes, that his laws are dripping with kindness. And we see not only the physical and the possible spiritual blessings that we might receive as a result of his kindness, that leads us to repent and to do what's right, to turn away from our sin and to follow after him. And it leads us then to forgiveness. Psalm 25 and verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord, for your kindness' sake, forgive me of my sins. These spiritual blessings are amazing. Through these spiritual blessings, we have his law to teach us. We have grace and mercy given to us. That leads us to repentance. And through his kindness, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Remember me. Forgive me. Take care of me. Through all that, it leads us into our kindness. Into our kindness. Should we be kind? If our Lord is kind, you know, we talked about that with the idea of love and all the other things we've talked about so far, love and especially long-suffering and peace. Should we imitate our God when it comes to kindness? Now, we can't, obviously, in every way. We can't save people, literally, but he can. But we can still show grace and mercy to people. We can still forgive people, at least as far as we're concerned. We can still be kind toward them, take care of people in a material way as well. And yet, we find one of the first instances that we see, in fact, the first instance, if you're going through the New Testament, the first instance that we see, well, the second instance that we see this word kindness, Christotes, is a quotation from Psalm 14, verse 1 and verse 3. In Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. There is none who does kindness. No, not one. Does that mean no one does any good at all ever? Does that mean no one is ever kind? Some people forget that this is a quotation, first of all, from the Psalms. And the Psalms use this poetic language. It's often hyperbolic, and it is in this case as well, this hyperbolic, poetic nature of the Psalms. We certainly have all sinned, haven't we? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's the idea that Paul is trying to drive home when he's looking at this in Romans chapter 3, because he ends up in verse 23 saying, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all have fallen short in some way. We've all sinned. We're all not perfect in that way. But some still do good. Because we see in Psalm 106, verse 4 and 5, where it says, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have towards your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit, the kindness of your chosen ones." Who are the chosen ones? The elect, right? And who are the elect today that we see in the New Testament? Why, the elect of God are Christians, people who follow after him, who've elected to become children of God. The benefit, the kindness. Let me see, I may see the kindness of these Christians. That I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation. Who is the nation of God today? It's not America, let me tell you. is the Lord's church. It's his church. That's his nation, the people of God. That I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Let us be kind to one another and show that to others. There's a kindness that is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6. The King James calls it sweetness. It's a laundry list of things that's talked there, referring to ministers. And a minister, we often think, is a preacher. And certainly a minister, the preacher is a minister. But aren't we all to be ministers? Aren't we all to be servants of the Lord in some manner or another? Certainly. It talks about the sweetness, the kindness, the Christotes. Have you ever known anyone that could be described as sweet? You attract more flies with honey than with vinegar, right? Sweetness, that idea of being sweet. Someone just dripping with the sweetness and kindness to one another, sending cards to everybody, talking with everybody, and man, before this pandemic, hugging everyone. Do we know people like that? Not just in this congregation, but throughout the brotherhood, throughout the world? Do we know people like that? Oh yeah, I think so. We need to be more like that. I'm not always like that. But that sweetness, that kindness we need to show to one another is so important. So important. Not only is it beneficial for the brotherhood, but it's beneficial for the world. And it's beneficial for everyone in terms of the growth of the church. People, again, you attract more flies with honey. If you're sweet to people, they're more likely to listen to you. They're more likely to listen and obey the gospel of Christ. I encourage you to be sweet, to be kind to others as much as you can. Not only is it a command to ministers, but it's a command to everyone. Sam brought up, of course, the Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. What's talked about there he calls it Christianity 101, Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 12 he says, therefore as the elect of God, oh there's that phrase, the chosen ones, your chosen ones, the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, all these traits to add on to ourselves, including the kindness. It's a command for us as well. I have at the top, if you're looking at the outline and that I put in the bulletin there, at the top it says under the title Psalm 37:3. We haven't talked about Psalm 37:3 yet. But here's the passage that I want us to take home with us. If nothing else, trust in the Lord and do good. Do kindness. Be kind to others. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Trust in the Lord. That's the important thing, isn't it? To trust in him and to be kind. How am I going to be kind if I don't have any money? How can I be kind? I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to take care of others, but I need to be kind. I need to look after them and help them. It's true. We can't take care of everybody who needs it because resources are limited, but we can do what we can to help others and help them through their difficulties. Be kind. We can trust in the Lord. Yeah, are people going to take advantage of us? Sure. But that's not on us, is it? That's on them. Let us be kind. Let us trust in the Lord and do good. maybe one day they'll see, you know, they were kind of nice to me. Maybe I'll see what they're all about. Who knows? Maybe they're like that. Maybe they won't be. But that's something to consider. Naturally, since this is a fruit of the Spirit that we've been talking about, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23, we cannot be engaged in the works of the flesh and be kind. Can we be kind to someone and hate them? Can we be kind to someone and be contentious with them, be jealous of them? An outburst of wrath is the exact opposite of being kind to someone, isn't it? Let us be kind. We talked this morning about how much Cain must have hated his brother Abel in order to murder him. Is it kind to murder somebody? That's one of the works of the flesh, talked about there a little earlier in Galatians 5. No, instead we're going to be kind to one another. So kind, in fact, that it makes people sick with the sweetness we exude. Have you ever had too much sugar before? Victoria tells a story sometimes of this one time at Bible camp where she was a counselor. It was one of the first years you were a counselor? No, later on. Well, anyway, she was a counselor, and there was this girl there who had so much watermelon, but also so much candy, and she was so sick with all of that, and eventually ended up losing it in the cabin. She got sick with all of that. Now Victoria doesn't really care for watermelon anymore because she had to clean it up. But there is that sickness that we might get from being too sweet or from having sweetness. And we kill people with kindness, right? We have that phrase to say, be kind to one another. We see in Romans chapter 12, that very concept toward the end of that passage. If you see your enemy hungry, what do? You feed him. You see him thirsty, you give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. I'll be so angry. Of course, you don't do it to make him angry. But you do it to be kind. Maybe one day that enemy will no longer be your enemy, but your friend. And a brother or a sister in Christ, if they aren't already. Kill them with kindness. Be so sweet. Be so sweet. In fact, historically, one of the interesting things I came across when studying this, one of the evidences for Christ's existence is the hostile testimony of one Suetonius. He is quoted as writing, "He expelled from Rome the Jews, constantly making disturbances at the instigation of Crestus." Who is this Crestus individual? People wonder, because of the spelling, whether or not this is actually Christ, because there's a difference in spelling. For that, it's C-H-R-E-S-T-U-S, whereas Christus in Latin is C-H-R-I-S-T-U-S. So they wonder about that change in spelling. Why? Is this the same person? Is this Christ or is this something else? Well, the thing is, we know of no Jew at that time who was named Crestus, except for one who ended up being a pagan. There is a reference to Christ. This is a reference to Christ, you see. But it could be that it wasn't misspelled. Maybe he heard it wrong and he wrote it down. Maybe he misspelled it. Maybe that's the case. But you see, at the time, and here's the interesting tidbit, at the time, people would mock Christians for their kindness. As Trench, he writes this, "This Christotes, this Greek word for kindness, was so predominantly the character of Christ's ministry that it is nothing wonderful to learn from Tertullian how Christus or Christus became Crestus. And Christiani or Christianity became Crestiani because they're so kind to one another." You know, people love to mock people with slight variations of their name or things of that nature. I don't want to bring anything up, any specific examples. But they like to mix up names and words such in such manners to make it to make fun of someone. Well, that's what they were doing here. Oh, Christian, you mean Christian? You mean those really kind people? They were mocking them for it. It was on the lips of the heathen with that undertone, it is true, of contempt, which the world feels and soon learns to express in words, for a goodness which to it seems to have only the harmlessness of the dove and nothing of the wisdom of the serpent. So they were had such contempt for these Christians because they were just so sweet and so kind. Can we recapture that today? I hope so. That's the reason why I'm preaching this lesson. I hope we can capture that today, that level of kindness that they had. They were so, you know, those early Christians, they were so kind. They were basically called, this is basically calling them goody two-shoes, right? People say that and say, oh, they're just some goody two-shoes. Using that with that sense of contempt. Oh, they're just so good. That's how Christians were viewed. Can we be the goody two-shoes today? It's not a mark of dishonor for us, but it should be a mark of honor to say, yes, I am that. Because that's what my God wants me to be. They were so kind. They were sweet. They were harmless. They were loving. They were helpful. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, to be wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. There is that idea of benignity or being benign, be harmless. But not just harmless, but an active good, being kind to one another, looking after one another and taking care of each other. Am I my brother's keeper, we talked about this morning? Well, if we're going to be kind to one another, then yes, we ought to be. Of course, that doesn't preclude any harsh punishments or harsh words that might be necessary. We see Paul doing that in some of his letters. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6 talks about being kind, ministers being kind, and then later, once you get to chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, he rips into the Corinthians for their wickedness. So it's not the same as harsh words. You know, we should sometimes use those things if the situation calls for it, but we should still be kind to one another, because that goes down a lot easier. What is medicine goes down easier with a spoonful of sugar? Isn't that Mary Poppins? Something like that. A spoonful of sugar. It's helpful. Let us be sweet and kind to one another, because sometimes we're going to have to deliver messages like that. And in that case, it goes up over a lot easier if we're kind. If we're kind. There's a phrase, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's that sense of kindness that we share with others. God's kindness is so great. It is a kindness that we must reflect. God's kindness, however, is not without limitation or condition. In fact, there's one passage I left off that hasn't used that uses the word Christotes that I'm going to use right now. It's Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22 says, therefore, consider the goodness or the kindness and severity of God. Are we sweet to our children? Are we kind to our children? Almost certainly. But we need to be firm as well. Sometimes, if they do something wrong, we need to be severe with them as well. And that's how God is with us sometimes. Therefore, consider the kindness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity. But toward you, goodness or kindness. If you continue in his goodness, in his kindness. If you continue in that by being kind to other people, he will be good towards you. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. In that context, he's looking at the tree of God's people, how the Gentile Christians were grafted on to that natural tree. And if you continue in that goodness, then you're going to stay there. But if you do not, you'll be cut right back off of that tree. Consider the goodness and severity of our God. Let us continue in his goodness and his kindness this morning. We have to start being in his goodness first. And we do that by fearing God. Remember, his kindness is those who fear God. Psalm 31 and verse 19. And to receive his spiritual kindness, we already have his law. We need to be taught it. Teach me your statutes. We have it here with us. Let us read it and understand it and study it. His kindness has given us this book that we can be saved. Let us understand that. Take advantage of his mercy and his grace as a result of his kindness. Let us have it lead us toward, of course, faith and repentance, so that we might confess and be baptized for the remission of our sins. In fact, we read Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, but just the first half of verse 5. In the first part of verse 4, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The washing of that's baptism. So we are saved through faith, repentance, and baptism. Let us recognize that this morning. And if you need to obey the gospel this morning, to understand, recognize his faith, to obey the gospel, to be faithful toward him, to repent of your sins, confess his name, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, I encourage you this morning, that's what we need to do to be saved. And then continue in his goodness, continue in his kindness. For those of us who might have done those things already and need to continue in his goodness and his kindness and have failed from time to time but want prayers of the church, let us help you with that. Let us as a congregation continue in his kindness. Be good to one another and be kind to those around us. I encourage you this morning, if you have a need, let us know about these things as we stand and as we sing this song.